When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel.
Today's question is, can I analyze Britney Spears' statement in June of 2021 about the conservatorship which she is under? After a number of incidents in the late 2000s, including an umbrella attack, concerns about Britney Spears' mental health were raised. A legal guardianship was put in place in February of 2008. It is referred to as a conservatorship. Her finances and personal life were put under the control of her father, Jamie Spears, and an attorney. In 2019, we see that a change was made so that Jamie was controlling just the finances. A licensed care manager was in charge of Britney's personal affairs. During the last 13 years under the conservatorship, Britney Spears has been phenomenally productive, earning millions of dollars each year. Before the release of Britney's statement, she has made other statements regarding the conservatorship. At one point, Britney did acknowledge that the conservatorship was useful. On another occasion, she said that she doesn't want her father to be the conservator, and she wanted to select her own attorney. There was a lot of speculation about how Britney really felt about the conservatorship, like in detail, like what did she really think about all the different elements of it. We see the Free Britney movement came about, comprising individuals who were against the conservatorship, and there were a number of people who thought that Britney's fans needed to leave the mental health and legal questions to the experts, to trust the system. Britney's first extended statement about the conservatorship would be provided in June of 2021 when she addressed Los Angeles probate judge Brenda Penny. Britney talked for over 20 minutes, mostly discussing her dissatisfaction with the conservatorship. Britney's statement didn't always feature events in order. She skipped around a little bit, so I modified the order slightly to compress and organize the narrative, and I've paraphrased quite a bit. Here's the summary of her statement. In 2018, Britney was forced to go on tour. Her management team threatened to sue her if she didn't. This experience was frightening for Britney. With the conservatorship, she was not allowed to get her own attorney. Without someone to give her advice, she did the tour. She was scared to refuse. Britney was conducting rehearsals. During one, there was one dance move she did not want to do. This upset management. This appears to suggest that Britney did not have creative freedom. On another occasion, she refused to perform in Las Vegas. Her therapist sat her down and told her she was not cooperating at the rehearsals and she has not been taking her medication. Britney said that these claims were false. The next day, the clinician put her on lithium. Britney was surprised at this because she had been on the same medication for about 5 years and it did not include lithium. Britney claimed that lithium can make a person mentally impaired if they stay on it longer than 5 months. This is not true. There's nothing special about 5 months with lithium. I'll talk more about lithium in the analysis. When she was on lithium, she felt intoxicated, unable to assert herself, and frightened. Britney talked about 6 different nurses who were in her various homes. They would not let her go anywhere for a month. Britney was subjected to some type of psychological test. Her father, Jamie Spears, told her that she failed. The information about test results should almost always be communicated by the clinician who administered the exam. So maybe that clinician did as well, but it's unusual that someone else would deliver that information. Her father told her that she was going to be sent to a rehab program. Britney said that her father loved having control over someone as powerful as her. He loved the control to hurt his own daughter 100,000%. That's a lot of percent. Maybe not the best phrase to use when arguing to a judge about, among other topics, taking control of one's finances, but I think Brittany made her point either way. Brittany claimed that she was forced to work against her will. Management took away her phone, passport, and credit card. There was security around her 24 hours a day. It's almost like she was in prison. She had no privacy. They watched her change her clothes. It's not clear why they would need to see Brittany not wearing clothes. That's a serious allegation that she made against them. Brittany was working 10 hours a day, 7 days a week. She went on to say that she's been in denial, in shock. She was traumatized. She's not happy, cannot sleep, is angry, depressed, and she cries every day. Her father and other people involved in the conservatorship should be in jail, according to Brittany. She expressed anger at the state of California for allowing her father so much control over her. Brittany has been making a lot of money, working hard, as the state of California sits back and watches people control her. So we see that Brittany has a lot of different people that she blames for her situation. She would like to sue her family, share her story, and pick her own attorney. She wants the conservatorship to end without having to be evaluated again. She believes it should automatically end when the conservatee is making money and working. Not actually a terrible way to view the conservatorship. It is unusual that somebody in a conservatorship, a conservatee, would be working, especially to the degree that Britney Spears does. Britney's actually forced to pay the people who are controlling her. So she's funding the attorneys who are working against what she wants. Britney says that what she's being forced to do is illegal. Technically, of course, it appears as though the conservatorship is legal. Brittany complained about the mental health treatment she's been receiving. She goes to 3 appointments a week. She has not done anything wrong to deserve this treatment, so we see this idea that she does think of this as punitive. She talked about one clinician, Dr. Benson, and said that he abused her through the treatment he provided. She noted that she was thankful when he died. She doesn't believe in therapy. She takes her problems to God, but she would be willing to be treated at her home where she would not have to be embarrassed by the paparazzi. So I guess they wait for her at these various appointments. Brittany went on to talk about her goals. She would like to get married and have a child. She wants her IUD to be removed. She said her team is preventing this. Brittany wrapped up by saying she deserves to have a life. She worked her whole life. She's tired of being bullied, feeling alone. She deserves the same rights as anyone else.
I want to take a moment to tell you about my podcast, Carol Costello Presents Blind Rage. In 1984, a woman named Phyllis Cottle was abducted in broad daylight, tortured, and left to die in a burning car in Akron, Ohio. At the time, I was a rookie reporter covering this horrific story. Since then, I've reported every kind of crime imaginable. I've been able to leave most of them at work, but not this one, the one that buried itself under my skin and stayed put. Phyllis Cottle was a badass woman, and I want to tell you her story. A production of Evergreen Podcasts and signature title of the Killer Podcast Network, you can find Carol Costello Presents Blind Rage wherever you get your podcasts. Discover more great true crime and paranormal programming at killerpodcast.com.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey, and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listener survey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
Now moving to my analysis. I think it's important to recognize that while Brittany's statement is powerful and compelling, it is only one side of the story. I could finish this analysis and then we could see statements from Jamie Spears or other people involved, which paint an entirely different picture. But at the time I'm making this video, I'm not aware of any information being reported where the other side has refuted Brittany's claims that were made in June of 2021. I will divide this analysis into the key points from Brittany's statement. Brittany indicated that she has basically been forced to work. It does appear that she wants to work, but she wants to work on her own terms. She does not want to be bullied, harassed, or terrorized to do certain things. 70 hours a week is excessive. She shouldn't have to work any hours a week if she does not want to. Her request is reasonable. A conservatorship is not about extracting productivity and money from the conservatee. It's about protecting them. I think she has a good point here. The next item, Brittany indicated her medication was changed to something that she believes is dangerous, lithium, to be specific. Lithium is an interesting medication. It's actually an element. It's on the periodic table. It's an alkali metal. It's used in a number of products, including lithium-ion batteries. Some time ago, it was found to be useful in treating bipolar disorder, major depressive disorder, and in some instances, schizoaffective disorder. Brittany's diagnosis has never been revealed, as far as I know, but many understand it to be bipolar disorder. Lithium is generally safe if monitored by a physician. It can be taken for years without problems. Now, stepping away from the specific drug being used, I think what's disturbing about Brittany's claims is that the medication was used as kind of a weapon for her acting out, specifically for not performing at the rehearsals in a way that she was directed. This is a serious claim. Medication should never be used as a punishment. The next item, Brittany talked about how she was basically surrounded by people who were forcing her into compliance, security guards, nurses, managers, and her father. She doesn't really seem to have an ally. She's alone. I found this part of Brittany's statement to be particularly compelling. I think it speaks to the importance of transparency in this type of legal guardianship. The next item, Brittany had concerns about the quantity and quality of therapy she was receiving. It sounds like she's being forced to go to therapy 3 times a week. She does not want to travel to see clinicians, and she doesn't want to receive that much treatment. 3 times a week can be appropriate under certain circumstances, including to treat people who have bipolar disorder. But if Brittany is not benefiting, it should probably be reevaluated. I think the most disturbing part about this is not the quantity of therapy, but the fact that she implied that clinicians were also controlling her. Brittany reported a number of symptoms in her statement. I think she was trying to attribute the cause of the symptoms to the conservatorship, which may be possible, but there does seem to be a reason to continue counseling. She mentions being angry, depressed, crying every day, and not sleeping. These symptoms would be distressing. Perhaps the counseling just needs to be offered on her terms, and she would be able to get more out of it. The next item, Brittany suggested her family goals are being obstructed. She cannot get the IUD removed, and she's not allowed to get married. This demonstrates that the restrictions are much more than simply financial in nature, like preventing her from squandering all of her money. Rather, they really affect her at a personal level. They interfere with her ability to live the life she desires, to build a family. So this is a very critical right that's being removed from Brittany Spears. So what are my thoughts when considering the totality of the available evidence? Again, without knowing the other side of the argument, just looking at what's available, I think that Brittany Spears has made a number of good points. Her argument was compelling, and considering her self-identified symptoms, she offered a coherent and well-reasoned narrative. Even if some of the items that she indicated are not true or could be debated at some level, I find it hard to believe that none of them are true. I think it's reasonable to believe that she is telling the truth about the majority of the items. The whole idea of the conservatorship is that Brittany Spears is not capable of managing her personal life and her finances. Yet she was capable of putting together her argument, and she's been capable for 13 years of working, earning more money in a year than most people earn in a lifetime. I would have to wonder if Brittany Spears has not already proved her point, made her case, simply through demonstrating her abilities to put together this argument. If the standard that Brittany Spears is going to be held to is that she must demonstrate no mental health symptoms, then it seems unlikely she would ever be released from the conservatorship. This is an impossible standard that no one could meet. Everybody has some mental health symptoms. If she is released from the legal guardianship, maybe she will make mistakes, maybe mental health symptoms will interfere, but to what degree? should that not be weighed against her autonomy, her right to make mistakes, her right to make decisions, whether they are good, bad, or indifferent? Something else to consider, what is the cost of trying to protect her? If the guardianship is hurting her, if she feels controlled and manipulated, is that any better than just letting her make her own decisions? Maybe the treatment is worse than the illness. There's one thing about the treatment that I think is worth noting. Again, many people believe Brittany has bipolar disorder. If one considers the nature of bipolar disorder, it is typically characterized by episodic mania and depression. These are called major mood episodes. There are inter-episodic periods where the symptoms usually aren't as pronounced, so the time between the different episodes. Some people suggested that perhaps Brittany just needs to be treated when she has mania or depression, and the rest of the time she should be left alone. Why would that situation require a conservatorship to be active all the time? So I guess the argument essentially says that the conservatorship could be just part-time, could be activated at certain points, and Brittany would not have to have supervision the rest of the time. Bipolar disorder typically does require treatment all the time. It's not a disorder that only gets addressed during major mood episodes. I can understand the argument that people are making, but I think there are better arguments against the conservatorship than suggesting that bipolar disorder does not require continuous management. It is a serious disorder that can have really terrible consequences if left untreated. As far as an example of a better argument, Britney Spears seems to be quite capable, alert, goal-oriented, and able to collect and organize her thoughts. Based on the evidence available, which again is not everything, I think she's presented a phenomenal argument against the conservatorship, again, just through her behavior, just through the act of putting together this argument and bringing it forward. So what happens next in this case? To end the conservatorship, Britney Spears or her representative would need to file a petition. It's worth noting that in 13 years, Britney has never done this. It's not clear if she understood how to do it or that it was even possible. I imagine at this point, Britney's attorney will file a petition to end the conservatorship, Britney will be evaluated, and a hearing will be scheduled to decide the matter. I don't know what the conclusion of this case will be, but I hope Britney Spears can find what she's looking for: autonomy, privacy, and effective management of her symptoms. As for her more controversial goals, like her management team going to jail, she might have to do without that one, but at least there's a chance she can regain her freedom.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.
We are gathered here today to give you permission to plan the wedding that you want.
I'm Jessica Bishop.
And I'm Sari Wienerman.
And we're the hosts of the Bouquet Toss podcast.
Today's couples have to juggle so many things, from family expectations to outdated traditions and what's currently trending.
So to make it easier, we're going deep to figure out why we do weddings the way that we do, so you can decide what to keep and what to toss from your wedding day plans.
You are cordially invited to subscribe to the Bouquet Toss wherever you get your podcasts or at evergreenpodcast.com.
By the power vested in us, we pronounce you free to plan your day your way.